Your Humanities Half Hour is brought to you by the Northern Marianas Humanities Council, Navigating the Human Experience Together.
Hafidei, Thiro, and welcome to Your Humanities Half Hour. I'm Catherine Perry. This year marks the 35th anniversary of the judiciary of the U.S. Commonwealth of the Northern Mariana Islands. And here today to talk with us more about it is CNMI Supreme Court Chief Justice Alexandro Castro. Justice, welcome.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here with you this afternoon.
We were chatting before the show. It's not very often that we see a judge or justice making a public speaking engagement. So thank you for reaching out.
And I'm still camera shy.
That's great. So am I. So I hadn't realized that the CNMI didn't have a full local court system until 1989. Can you tell us a little bit about the history of the judiciary?
Okay, basically when we were under the trust territory of the Pacific Islands, there were courts all over Micronesia, the community courts that had the non-lawyer judges, the magistrates. And then from then on, we had the appellate trial court division of the trust territory, and then the appellate division, and that's where all the regular the judges that went to law school came back, and that would be the trust territory judges. Since then, in 1989, the local legislature established the trial court. They call it the trial court for the Commonwealth, but there was no appellate court because we walk into the covenant. And basically the covenant says 5 years from this date until that date, the U.S. District Court for the Northern Mariana Islands would sit as the appellate court of the Commonwealth. So in 1989, the local legislature established them by statute. But then again in 1997, they amended the Constitution to give the third branch of government a co-equal status and also its independence from the legislature to the executive branch. So today, we are on the 35th year since the establishment of the appellate court, the Supreme Court, and also the Commonwealth Superior Court of the Commonwealth. And I am very happy to be still alive, to be able to set these programs for our people so that they will see how our judiciary has evolved the last 35 years.
So when this Judicial Reorganization Act came into effect, 1989, you were already a lawyer, passed the bar, practicing law here. Do you remember this as being a big deal or a big change in what you saw in the courtroom as a local attorney?
Not really at that time, because there was not much lawyer anyways on island. So I started as a paralegal in the public defender's office, and then I went to the AG's office as a prosecutor after law school, and then from then I came to the bench. So looking back, you know, it was kind of, it's just there, but it's not really that big a deal, you know, for us practicing attorneys at the time. But today, yes, it is a big deal because the how you're going to get to the U.S. Supreme Court from CNMI, we are now on a co-equal status like the 50 states of the union, and that we have to go through a writ of cert to the U.S. Supreme Court. And remember, U.S. Supreme Court only hears roughly 700 cases a year from all the 50 states of the union, plus the seven U.S. territories that mm-hmm. includes the CNMI. So it is, to get up there, it's very hard. For example, in the state of Ublum, they attempted to take one of the things that Judge Bellis and I set up in the Superior Court. They tried to take it up, but the U.S. Supreme Court said, no, that is basically a non-issue, for not as important issue across the 50 states of the union. Mm-hmm. Because they, what Bellis and I basically did was, before you come in as a lawyer in the state of Ublum, we require you, number one, to go to the finance department and pay $5,000. Number two, associate with a local lawyer. And they said, you can do that. I said, take it up to the Supreme Court. But the Supreme Court said, no one
we're
is going to hear that.
We're not going to hear it, yeah.
That's the NMA problem.
Yeah. Why wasn't a full judicial system included in the original constitution, you feel?
I think, like any other developing nation, the laws are going to develop slowly. In our case, for example, we operate under the basically a replica of the U.S. Constitution. And there are issues in the Constitution, like Rota would have three senators, Tinian would have three senators, Saipan plus the Northern Islands would get three senators. That doesn't happen in the United States. They go by population. I think on the Senate side, opposite side, I think how many senators per state is the same across, and then you can have more congressmen, congresswomen in the U.S. House of Rep based upon population. Mm-hmm. So if we follow that approach, then we're not going to have, that's why we have Rota only one Congress, one representative, Tinian one representative, and Saipan we have more. Because it's really based on population. Mm-hmm. But in the Senate, there are three equal. And I think at one time, and up to today, is still being debated, you know, that our system of democracy is really based on the number of people, the majority governing the minority. But in our Mariana Islands, if you go to the Senate and the three Rotanists unite with the three Tenianists, then they're going to wipe out Saipan. Mm-hmm. Three. Mm-hmm. So, but the House, they're going to wipe us out, of course. Mm.
Do you remember when we first started having jury trials? What was it like? You know, obviously the people had no experience, a jury of your peers, but they weren't used to sitting on trials. Do you remember any of those old days?
Oh, yes.
Was there any public education, or how did that work?
I remember the first jury trial was CNMI versus, or Trust Territory versus Herman Palacios.
Okay.
Where in his nightclub there was a problem, and then he used a handgun to take the life of another person there. That one went to a jury trial. I think that's the only jury trial. After that one, there was no jury trial. I prosecuted several cases before Judge Loretta, who was in the federal court, but sitting as a local appellate court, but they were handling also jury trials. not only the appellate cases, but also jury trials. So all non-jury trials goes to the local court, and then to the federal court goes under the covenant, goes to the federal court. So I would be prosecuting burglary cases, murder cases, rape cases, child abuse cases, sexual abuse cases in the federal court. And yes, it's hard, you know, but that system is really, instead of one person sitting to judge a defendant, the defendant's peers would be sitting judging him instead of only one person. Mm-hmm. So that's the whole notion of the jury system in England brought over under the American legal system to the United States, and now we have adopted it here on Northern Mariana Islands.
Mm-hmm. You were mentioning a few things that are unique about us in the covenant, for example, the composition of the Senate, also Article 12, alienation of land ownership. And I believe there's also some other customary Chamorro and Carolinian or customs that are considered in the courts. What are some of those customs?
I think the most important ones would be those dealing with land. Because remember, in the Carolinian culture, the big bosses of the land are the female. It's a matrilineal society. On the Chamorro side, it's really the father of the house. But it was very hard, you know, because I sat through many probate cases. I think one of them is Rofac, that I had to move the court from the court to the house in Quartermaster Road to take the testimony of Mrs. Rofac, who was already bedridden and cannot go over to the court. So we had to take her testimony about whether these particular children were really adopted under Carolinian custom, moimoi, moite, and things like that, or it was just raising somebody else's child. Mm-hmm. But because Carolinian is very complex, that's the refollowers customs on adoption. It's very different from Chamorro. Mm-hmm. So we want to make sure, and I think last time you helped us, the court, deal with the customs, you know, on the land issues at the courthouse. And then you can see the different dynamics of each of the refollower speakers dealing with the land alienation in the Mariana Islands. Not even Article 12 yet, you mm-hmm. know. Article 12, it's still up there.
still active, up there. Yes.
Not really resolved.
Over the last 35 years, you guys have had a lot of successes. I think outreach, like what you're doing with today's show, is one of those things that you guys have been advocating. Also, you have some specialized courts. Can you tell us about those?
I'm just so glad that Presiding Judge Naroha and I are working together to try to bring in those programs that would help our people. Because in the old days, if you commit a crime, you just basically throw away the keys, or he's a bad guy. But some of these things are really coming in from beyond our knowledge, and that is, for example, on mental health court, you deal with this person on the mental side of that person. He's not really a criminal, but because their faculties are not intact, you have to bring in the doctor, psychiatrist, and say, help us navigate this person through the villages so that he can be a law-abiding citizen, mm-hmm. rather than just, oh, he's a bad person, throw him in jail. So I think with that, because in the past we don't have that, and it was very expensive. I remember the first mental health case that I prosecuted, I had to go to Hawaii and I had to bring an expert from Hawaii to testify that this person cannot form a criminal intent because he is so out of this, out of space, out of this world, that his faculty is not really intact. So you can't judge, you can't send him to jail. Let's send him for treatment, you know, at the hospital.
I know another thing that you guys have done is improve access to justice for the community, especially with establishing courthouses on Saipan, Tinian, and Rota. How much of a difference does it make for somebody to go to court who's from Rota, in Rota?
I remember, you know, when I was, that we used to go to the school and borrow a classroom to conduct court proceedings. Now we have a courthouse on Rota, and basically a courthouse is really an icon of the rule of law in a society, that once they see a courthouse, they feel okay, they feel good, that if something is done wrong to this person, that they have a place, a neutral ground to go and exercise their right, you know, to be safe, to freedom of speech, freedom of association, freedom of assembly, and things like that. So Rota, we have the Central Justicia. In Tinian, we now have the Corte in Tinian. And of course, Saipan, we have our Guma Justicia, Imua, Awewe, you know, where all the problems of our community that cannot be resolved can be brought before the court. And one of the things also that we develop is the mediation of cases, especially in family court. Because in the old days, when husband and wife fight, they fight all the way to the end, even when to pick up a child, you know, for visitation, or who's going to have this child and who's going to, what time. And if you don't drop them back on time, the other party gets mad. So now we even have that one, and we basically, I think Judge Kim Tenorio is a very good judge, you know, for the family court division. And in fact, he went into a night session on family court cases because she discovered that when you require a person to come to court because he has not paid his child support, and you require him to come to court on regular business hours, that person's employment sometimes is in jeopardy. Because sometimes employers say, oh, you're a bad person, you're going to court, you're fired, or we don't need you here. So now Judge Kim Tenorio said, no, you come after working hours from this day, from this hour to, I believe, 8 o'clock or 8:30 at night, and tell me why you haven't paid your child support, or how can you pay your child support so this child who needs milk, who needs food, you know, who needs school things, to go to school, clothing and everything, she can have that one, because the government cannot raise all the children in the village. You know, we have to raise our own children, and we have to tell the spouses, especially the fathers, that's your problem. You raise this child because we don't trust you raising this child. You give it the money that is necessary, and the mother will take care, and even the a court worker or somebody in the community would be working closely with the mother so that she can buy all the necessary things. Because we had cases, you know, it's so sad, in the older days, and I think maybe still happening now, is, of course, the husband goes to work, gets the check, but on payday, the husband doesn't reach the house. Use all the money to buy beer, kelaguin, chesa, at his friend's house. And then at 3 o'clock a.m., he would come home drunk. and then shouting to the wife, put the food out, cook the food. The wife would basically look at me in court and said, Judge, I cannot even, I don't see his paycheck anymore. How can I put the food on the table? So, you know, with addressing those issues at night court, it's really helping. And I think a year from today, we will know how far that type of program helps, you know, the children and the single mothers. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's one great example of how you guys are adapting to the needs of the community as time goes on, as our community changes.
All right.
Mm-hmm. We'll be back with more after this break.
Half a day, Zantiro. I'm Leo Pangilinan with the Northern Marianas Humanities Council. We'd like to take a moment to thank our generous sponsors who have made possible the many programs in our community like this show. We couldn't have done it without them. And if you value the work we do and would like to make a contribution to our efforts, we ask that you consider making an in-kind or cash contribution to the Northern Marianas Humanities Council. Any amount is appreciated, and donations of up to $5,000 qualify for an educational tax credit. We appreciate your partnership and support. Sizus Maasi, Olomai, and thank you.
Welcome back to your Humanities Half Hour. Justice, you guys have a very interesting event open to the public on March 21st in the morning, a conversation, fiyong, a conversation. What are we talking
fiyong,
about?
Right.
What is the topic of this conversation, and who are the panelists?
We're very happy to have covenant negotiator, Pete A. Tenorio, and also Manny Manuel Sablon. We also have, Judge Lilian Tenorio, who worked during one of the CONCON. And also we have Dr. Galvin Guerrero, who's very familiar with, you know, these issues, the covenant. Because as you know, the covenant is the document that holds the foundation of the Commonwealth. So we have to really know the mechanics of the covenant, because like one of the things that on a picnic table one evening, somebody next to me was saying, hey, Judge, you know, I hope the governor appoints me to be a 902 because I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do that. I said, we're too late already. If you're gonna do that, we have the covenant. The covenant, the CNMI is the only jurisdiction that had the opportunity to vote for the covenant. In some areas, like look at American Samoa, for example, why some of them, they want to be U.S. citizen, and the other, they don't want to be U.S. citizen. Why? Because all of these things were basically imposed upon them, not the CNMI. We cried for a U.S. Commonwealth during the status negotiation of Congress of Micronesia. And when it was clear that they're heading on a different direction, they don't want a closer U.S. relationship like what we have in the covenant today. They want a looser relationship. They still want to be under the U.S., but not under the palms, you know, the iron fist of the United States. Us here, we negotiated the covenant, and we basically gave away two things. One, the foreign policy. That's why the CNMI cannot have its own embassy anywhere in the world. Why? That belongs. We gave that to the United States. Every time there's a U.S. embassy, we go there. The other issue, you know, that we really voted for is the defense. We cannot have our own militia because we gave that to the United States. To make sure that we're protected we're not going to build our soldiers, we're not going to buy arms, but United States, come and protect us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So this is happening on March 21st, 10 a.m. Seating is limited, so they should contact the court if they're interested. Very interesting panel, also including Assistant Attorney General Relani Ogomoro, bringing in the young local voice to the conversation. I understand you guys are also burying a time capsule. Are you burying it literally, or tell us about this time capsule you guys are putting together?
We want to put everything so that when we die and somebody is...
You don't have to say it like that.
No. How many years were there? 30, 40 years from today, somebody opens it and then they can see what we have accomplished.
Are you putting something in the time capsule? Have you decided what you're putting in the time capsule?
Yeah.
Is it a surprise?
Surprise. No, I'm just kidding.
Tune in another 35 years to find out. Before we go, I just want to give you an opportunity to talk about a lot of the community outreaches that you guys are doing. For example, you have something called Justice and Judges in the Classroom. You guys are going out to the schools?
The mock trial and the moot court.
Yes, mock trial, moot court, also court tours. Really, what is it you guys are trying to accomplish by this really outpouring of trying to connect with the community? What do you want people to feel when they think of the court?
You know, in the old days, the legal profession is really quiet. It's only for the few. So how judges make decisions and where, how do they get to that decision? It's like a mystery to be solved.
Mm.
You know, So by going over to the judges in the classroom, talking to the kids in school, we kind of hone them in to our legal system. This is what we have. We need a replacement as judges. Are you going to law school? Are you going to be a doctor or a policeman? What do you want to be? Just be the best so that we can continue to run our commonwealth by ourselves. So that would really enhance the students' knowledge, you know, on the democratic form of government, the right to peacefully assemble and things like that, you know, so that they know that there are under the United States flag, because you can't do that in some foreign countries. Like China, you can talk about the government. Over here, you can go out there and, you know, even criticize the courts.
Yeah.
You know, write an article, talk about the courts. I don't like your decision here. I don't know how you get to this decision. Then, so that everybody would know. So the purpose of going out to the community, especially Rhoda Tenian, you know, there's not much lawyers. There are lawyers from both islands already, but they're on Saipan practicing, not really practicing on a daily basis on Rhoda. So now we're urging them to please go to law school, you know. Here are already students that, people from Tenian and Rhoda that already went to law school. Because, for example, on Rhoda, the first person that I look up was former Justice Pedro M. Atalik. Pedro M. Atalik was the first Rotanis lawyer. So when I heard he went to law school, I said, I think I want to be a lawyer too.
Mm.
So, you know, just talking to the kids and even bringing the oral argument to NMC, to high school, and even to the Manamco Center. We want the people to see that's how we decide cases, by having the two lawyers argue their cases. We'll take them under advisement and then we'll discuss it and issue a written decision. It's not that we just decide it this way, because this is how we want it to be. It takes three heads to make a decision, and two of them would be, three would be unanimous, but all we need is two of them to agree to be a decision of the court. The third, we don't kick him out. He's got to write his dissenting opinion mm-hmm. and explain why he's disagreeing with the majority opinion. Mm-hmm. So all of these things to bring it to the kids' attention and so that they learn that this is how we deal, you know, with our government, and each of the branches of government is separate and apart from the other. For example, in the old days, and even recently, sometimes they looked at me and said, Judge, how good am I to see Governor? So he listens to you. Tell him this. I said, you know, I can't tell the governor. He's got a job to do. He's going to be executing the policy. The legislature would be dictating the policy by statute. The minute it goes to the governor and then it passes, I follow that statute. I cannot say, I don't like this. Therefore, I am not enforcing it. No. Mm-hmm. The legislature passes the law. The governor, the executive, enforces the law. If somebody breaks the law, then they come before, investigated by the police. They come before the court. Then we listen to both sides of the story. And then we make a decision whether that person, in fact, violated the law that the legislature passed. Mm.
I really want to thank you, Chief Justice, for humanizing the court in our chat today. Any final thoughts before we go?
Okay, thank you so much for bringing our message again to the people on Rota, Tenen, and Saipan. I know this is only a very short minute. I don't have time to explain everything, but we have court tours also that down the line, if you want to see the courthouse, especially the kids, we've been opening it, but now we set, I believe, one day a week that everybody in the court, judges and justices, would join forces with the staff to welcome the students, talk to the students, and answer any questions that they may have. And thank you so much.
Our guest today has been CNMI Chief Justice Alexandru Costru, talking about the 35th anniversary of the judiciary here in the CNMI, as well as activities they have planned, the Conversacion Fiyong on March 21st about the covenant at the court. Check it out. This has been Your Humanities Half Hour. I'm Catherine Perry.
Your Humanities Half Hour has been made possible in part by a major grant from the National Endowment for the Humanities. Democracy demands wisdom. Any views, findings, conclusions, or recommendations expressed in this program do not necessarily represent those of the National Endowment for the Humanities. For more information or to share your thoughts, contact the Northern Marianas Humanities Council at nmhcouncil.org. or on social media at 670 Humanities, that's 670 Humanities.